This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.
God is my all and all. That's the real Christian difference on today, as God has blessed us on today. And it's my prayer that we hear the message of God speaking to us in this brand new year, that we can be and do what God has called us to be in 2023. What a mighty God we serve. I fail to acknowledge the fact that we had one who was baptized on this morning. We baptized one of this morning. Hallelujah. Brother Sage Brown Jr. Where are you, Brother Sage? Amen. Brother Sage Brown Jr. Get to know him. Put your arms around him. Help him to grow in Christ. Amen. We're batting 1,000 because we baptized the first Sunday of every month. So for the year of 2023, we have baptized every Sunday in the month of 2023. That's right. Every baptism. We want to keep that going all the way through 2023. A minimum of one, because the Bible says heaven rejoices when one comes. You've had our background scripture, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. I just want us to focus now on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. And it reads, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Our subject for this morning, the new me in 2023. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, we ask in a special way that you would speak to us, we your servants, that we may hear and follow, that we may do the things you'd have us to do the way you'd have us to do it. God, we ask right now that you move in such a supernatural way in all of our lives that we can truly hear, that we can truly believe, that we can receive your word and then live your word according to your will. Bless us now, God, that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please repeat after me. Lord, help me to see the new me in 2023. Have you ever noticed how it seems the more things change, the more things stay the same? Year in and year out, it appears that things may change, but it only seems to get worse. I remember when we were looking from 2020 to going to 2021 and said 2021 can't be as bad as 2020 was, and 2022 can't be as bad as 2021 was. And I know we started 2023 looking for all the great things to happen, as we should. But it just appears that things seem to get worse and worse. Seems to be more hypocrisy. Seems to be more apathy. Seems to be more hatred, more cynicism. Seems to be more violence. There also appears to be less income, less patience, less energy, less love, and less forgiveness. So what will truly make a difference in 2023? What makes 2023 so much different, more different from 2022? Is it going to be just another year of the same old stuff as the last two or three years, or will it be worse? To be honest, I want you to know on today, it is totally up to you. You will determine how 2023 will be. You will determine how great it will be or how marvelous it will be. You will determine just how significant this year will be in the lives of not just yourself and your family and our community, but many, many others. I want you to type in the comments, those who are online, I want you to type in the comments, and those who are here, also I want you to repeat this with me. I want you to type, it's up to me in 2023. Do it again. It's up to me in 2023. Now, as they're typing that in and as we're getting that ready, I want us to hear something. Understand that even though it's a new year, we're building on an old message. We're building on a message that has been taught through 2022 and beyond, when we talked about we're seeking God, shaping life, serving the world, and that we're seeking and we're reaching for excellence in kingdom building. That's our vision. As we do that, take everything you've been hearing and pull that together and begin to use that as we talk about where we're going and what we're doing in 2023. We're building on messages taught. And particularly, I believe you've heard this passage before sometime in 2022, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Y'all know many times I go to King James on that one. You know, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That passage letting us know that we have been given power to do the things that we really expect and look forward to God doing. I got to say that again. God can do all this marvelous stuff, but he gives us power to get it done. So how do we do this in 2023? Understanding we have been empowered by God to make a real difference in this world as his church, let's take a look at how God can help us see the new me in 2023. First, we have to do this. First, we have to change focus. Change focus. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Right. The astronomer Copernicus, who was among the first to understand that the planet Earth was not the center of the universe, he has lent his name to what is called the Copernican Revolution as a description of any kind of radical rethinking. The Apostle Paul was no less famous for his Damascus Road experience, which changed the whole direction of his life. Even though he was an outwardly religious man, everything had revolved around him. Formerly, he had lived an egocentric life as the center of his own universe. We know Paul, who was once called Saul, and he was a devout religious man. I want to keep that point. He was a devout religious man. But as Christ came, when Jesus came and lived and died, he was one that was very critical of this new way of doing things. He had grown up learning how to do things this particular way. And once he was so caught up in the way he had been doing things, once he was caught up in the way that religion had been doing things, he was so caught up in it and just knew that was right. However, understand, the religion that he was caught up in was founded and based on the Word of God. Yeah. The Jewish faith, it was based on the Word of God. So he was looking at the Word of God, the Old Testament. He was looking at what was taught. And now here comes this new thing and this new person. And he was so into doing things the way he believed God wanted him to do that he did everything he could to get rid of the new thing. Yeah. He was there consenting unto Saul, consenting with Stephen, was being stoned. There was Stephen, one of the first we call deacons of the church. And as Stephen preached and talked about how it was that they had killed Jesus who came and lived, they had killed an innocent man, but they killed him. But God raised him from the dead. And as he talked about that, they became so irate with Stephen talking about this Christ who died and who rose. And they just so upset with him till they sought to kill him. And they took him out, began to stone him. And Saul was right there with their garments, consenting unto his death. Matter of fact, he even got letters because he was so adamant about this. He got letters so he could go out beyond Jerusalem and find those Christian folk, find those people who were following this false doctrine. Find these people, and we're going to do what we can to bring them back to prison. We're going to do what we can to get them put in prison and even persecuted and maybe even to be killed. He was working hard at getting that done. But one day, on the Damascus Road, Saul met Jesus. I got to say it again. One day, on the Damascus Road, he thought of him, he thought of Christ in an earthly fashion, in a fleshly fashion. He thought of him as being someone that was destroying what they were used to doing and changing the way they were used to living. He saw him as someone who was uprooting what their religious beliefs were. And because of that, he saw Christ only in that fleshly moment. And he's just this historical figure. Yes, he came, he lived. We know about him. We know all the miracles that he did. But yet we're not to follow him. When he saw him in a fleshly, he wanted to get rid of that Christ and to get rid of that teaching altogether. But when he met Jesus, his whole life changed. It was no longer what he wanted, how he wanted it, when he wanted it, but it was now, what does Christ want? I'm willing to do what God would have me to do. And that's why Paul becomes one of the ones who were mostly persecuted. Oh, he was shipwrecked and he was whipped and he even talked about how he was stoned. Most people don't get a chance to talk about how they were stoned. Yeah. Stephen couldn't talk about how he was stoned unless he was talking in heaven. But he was able to talk about all the things he went through for the cause of Christ, the very one he was persecuting, because he now was no longer focused on himself. He was now focused on living the life for Christ. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus became the center of his life. Paul met Jesus for himself. Question. Have you met the real Jesus? As a little boy, I used to sing a song. I used to do this at the association, the Zion Association. And the song was real, real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, says Mother Wilson. He gives me victory. So many people doubt him. I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. Jesus is real to me. I'm pausing here because I need us to take time to reflect. Is Jesus real to you? Not just the Jesus you may have heard about, or you heard me talk about, or you heard somebody else talk about, or you heard your parents talk about, but is Jesus real to you? Do you believe? Can you follow Jesus? Can you trust Jesus? Is Jesus real to you? What Paul underwent through the Damascus Road event, others come to result of the ministry of reconciliation. What ordinary believers experience is no less remarkable, since the human will is so entrenched in egocentricity, a point that is well made by C.S. Lewis. What mattered most of all, Lewis observed, was my deep-seated hatred of authority. my monstrous individualism and lawlessness. No word in my vocabulary expressed deeper hatred than the word interference. But Christianity placed at the center what then seemed to be a transcendental interferer. In other words, Lewis was saying that in his life, he didn't want anything to interfere with what he wanted to do. He didn't want anything to interfere with what he was thinking. He didn't want anyone to change the plan that he had for his life, and that even included Christ. But when he came to know Christ, he rightly saw how profound is the change when you change from your own ego to change to a life that is dominated by Christ. When you think about it, we have to ask the question, who sits on the throne of your heart? Who literally sits on the throne of your heart? Is it Christ? Or is it you, and you give Christ some space in your heart? He's not Lord of your heart. He's just kind of in your heart. You know, I know about Christ, and I have a crisis that I call on Christ. But devoid of a crisis, hey, you know, don't bother me with that stuff. Don't bother me with loving and forgiving and giving and all that stuff. No. Let me call you when I want you. That's you being on the throne, and Christ might be somewhere in it. But understand this. If Christ is not Lord of all in your life, he's not Lord at all. Yeah. This is how we get to where we need to be in 2023. Second, I've sort of moved into it. We need to focus on Christ. If we could have changed the world in 2022, if you could have changed the world in 2022, would you have done it? And if so, why didn't we? Our focus has to be changed, challenged and changed. It's up to me in 2023, but only if we focus on he who lives in me. I know I've said it's up to you. I know I said it's up to me. I've been going on about how we have to do these things, how we could do all this stuff, but I want to be clear about it. You can't do it. Yeah, you can't do it, I can't do it, me can't do it, you can't do it without Christ. And that's what Christ longs for in you. That's what Christ longs for in me. He longs to be sitting on the throne of our heart. He longs to be in control of our lives. Regardless of what we thought in the past, regardless of what other experiences we've had, he wants to shine in our lives, and he gives us an opportunity to say, Christ, Lord God, you are first. You're number one. You're numero uno. I surrender not part, but I surrender all. When we make that our mindset, we make that our goal, we make that our heart set, when we say, yes, Christ is about you, when he become our focus, we will see the transformation happening in our own individual lives and the lives of those around us. How many of us have just wanted people to be better around us? You know, if so-and-so would just get better. You know, if they would stop doing what they're doing. If they would start being a little nicer. If they could just do this or that. Just go on. Think of any family member you want to think of. Think of any friend. Think of any co-worker. Think of any church member. If they would just get their life together, my life would be better. Yeah, focus still on me. If they ain't been in my life, no. What if Christ can transform your heart and your mind, that you become the better person, and that person can see the better person in you, can see Christ in you, and their attitude change because of who you are when you have changed? That's about how this works. Galatians 2 and 20 says, Paul says, the writes this to us, says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Allow him to take control. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The remarkable thing is, when we come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. That's our Baptist belief. Yes, yes. You do realize that it's impossible by our definition for you to be Baptist and not be saved. Y'all know that, right? By definition. Because the only ones who are baptized are those who believe. That's those who believe that Jesus died for their sins, rose from the grave. And the Bible says, Romans 10:9, that if you shall confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So by definition, everyone who has come to Christ, everyone who's been baptized, have accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. So in the fact that we have come to Christ, and don't let Satan steal this from you. The fact that you've come to Christ, given your life to Christ, and you haven't done everything you ought to do. You've messed up, you've lied, you stole, you whatever you did. The fact that you've done all this stuff, it does not negate the fact that you're saved because God loves you and you're saved by God's grace. But because we're saved by his grace, he does expect something from us. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's why we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You can't help but do good works once you're saved. If you have no desire to allow God to lead you and direct you to do good works, then you need to chalk it up, I am not saved. The power comes from being saved. Now, anybody could come and say, I want to be baptized. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm all this. Anybody can say that. But it's Christ who comes in your life and the decision that you make that determines that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And once the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life, you now have the power to live the way God wants you to live. And there are things that you would do by faith that you don't understand. There are things you do by faith that the Holy Spirit leads you to do, and you may not understand why you were kind to somebody who normally you wouldn't be kind to. You may not understand why you gave to somebody who normally you wouldn't give to. You may not understand why you went out of your way for somebody you normally wouldn't go out of your way for. But when the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us, and God is in charge of our lives, you can't help but do it. Or 2023. Oh, it's up to me. It's up to you. Allow God to take first place in your life. Allow Christ to be numero uno. Even if it doesn't make sense to you. Oh yeah, there's some stuff that he's going to call you to do that just does not make sense to you at all. Why should I? Forgive them. You know what the demons they are. I ain't got to like them. No, you don't. You have to love them. So make up your mind now. Are you still sitting on the throne? Are you getting off and say, Christ, take over. Be in charge. Show me what I don't understand why. I don't, but see, on a carnal level, if you went far enough along those lines, you'll find out it works. Because on a carnal level, even on a carnal level, even on a fleshly level, it makes sense. Because if you are no longer being an enemy to your enemy has no choice but to be your friend. You say, no, they're too nasty. They're going to be my enemy regardless. But that's not up to you to do. That's not for you to determine. No. How other people, we talked about this the other day, how other people, what other people think about you is none of your business. Your business is to do what God has called you to do and let God get the glory. That's what always puzzles me when it says, let your light shine that others may see your good works. And give God glory. That always puzzled me as a child. I'm saying, well, if I'm doing good works, why can't they tell me thank you? But I believe that text is really talking about those folk that can't stand you. And like we said, I'll make your enemy your footstool. Understand, the folk that can't stand you, when you do something great and marvelous for them, they're not going to tell you thank you. So they're going to look for somebody else to thank. So they say, well, I don't believe he did that. I don't believe she did that. There must be a God somewhere. Lord, I thank you. Well, at least God will get the credit. God will get the glory for the thing that God has placed in you to do. And you should be okay with that. Lastly, let it go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Once you are focused on the new you, with Christ leading and guiding you, let the old you go. Repeat after me. Lord, help me to see the new me and let the old me pass. Paul kind of used that analogy that he says that we die in Christ, that we die, and now we live in Christ. He wasn't talking about we die to physical death, but he's saying that we die to ourselves, we die to our flesh. And I love the new year because everybody takes these new year resolutions. You know, I'm going to do better. Well, just do this. Just say, I will focus on putting Christ first and allow Christ to help me to do better. Oh, yes. God, listen, God only wants the best for you in 2023. God only wants the best for you, period. But sometimes we don't understand what the best for us is. Let me do it this way, and I'm done. Are there any parents who present that believe you know what's best for your child, especially with small children? Is there any parents who believe you know what's better for your children than what your children know? Any parents believe that? Any parents believe that? Okay, that's enough. Some of us, including myself, believe that even now, even though your children may be in their 30s, believe we still know what's best for them. Even though they will let you know right quick, oh, no, you don't. But think about, even when they were smaller, how we really believed that we knew what was better because we knew what was out there. We knew how to keep them safe. You know, they'll go and want to put their fingers in the electric socket, you know, or touch a hot stove or something. We constantly had to keep them from doing things that we knew would harm them. If we as parents would do that for our children because we love them and we'll not give them everything they want and everything they desire because we know and we figured out what's best for them in this thing called life because we desire this and we want the very best for them because we love them, how much more can we understand and trust God, knowing how much God loves us, how He's our Heavenly Father, how He cares about everything that happens in our life, how much more can we trust Him with everything when He's telling us what to do or what not to do or how to do it? What a mighty God we serve! He loves us. Notice in our text, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, we said, from now on, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh, but though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Notice the first part of that. It says, from now on, therefore we regard. Therefore. And y'all know we've been taught and we learned, whenever you see a therefore, we need to find out what's it there for. So we have to go to a passage that's earlier than that. So we go to 2 Corinthians 5:14, 15. It says, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and was raised. We no longer live unto ourselves. Wow. That's what coming to know Christ is all about. It's no longer really about me. It's about him. but it's about me following him. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become. Can you see in 2023 how you can look at things differently because of your eyes are now filtered by the love of Christ? Can you see how things won't get you so upset and so mad and so disturbed if you understand that God is walking with you and talking to you and guiding you and protecting you? And when everything is over down here, he's prepared a place for you where the wicked will cease from troubling and your weary souls will be at rest. Can you understand that the worst thing this world could do to us is the best thing that could ever happen to us? If this world was to physically take our life, we go to a place where we never grow old. We go to a place where the streets are paved with gold. We go to a place where we have nothing but joy, unspeakable joy. We go to a place where we're in his presence every day saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who will be. Do you understand that there's nothing this world can do to you that Christ would not bless you through it? If he brought you to it, he will take you through it. There's no need to be depressed in 2023. There's no need to live a life of depression. There's no need to live a life that I just can't make it, because you can make it with Christ. That's how we make the real difference. And this text says, his love controls us. Or King James says, his love compels us. Yeah. It's his love that motivates us to what we do. It's his love that motivates us to where we go. It's his love who motivates us to how we treat other people. It's his love that makes a difference in our lives. He loves us. God loves us. God loves us. God loves you. And as I said last night, or earlier this morning, last night, make sure that you're telling others how much God loves them. You may not like them, but God loves them. You might not care about them a little bit, but God loves them. And God will use you to get to them. And once they come to really know God, you're going to find out. It wasn't that bad in the first place. But all the time we waste doing everything that we possibly can instead of helping them to see God has been a waste of our lives. What would happen if every time they told you about how bad things were in their life, you told them how good things were in your life because of your love for God? Oh, this is terrible. I can't believe this is going on in my life. I can't believe this is terrible. Don't you go back with, you think your life terrible. My life is twice as bad as yours. That's not why they're talking to you. They heard that you came to church. They heard that you said God made a difference in your life. They heard you say that kind of stuff. So they're coming to you to see if God really makes a difference in your life. So they tell you the stuff they're going through, hoping that they're really asking you, is there any word from the Lord? And because of who God is, there should be a word from the Lord in all of us. If at a minimum, we ought to be able to say, God loves you. Whatever you're going through, trust God. Somebody said, well, that's kind of shallow. That's kind of shallow. But it's true. And God could do more for them than you ever could. It's my prayer that this year, everybody present, everybody listening, will learn enough as we talk about the Stevens ministry, as we talk about helping folk who've been traumatized, is that we will learn enough to be able to help people who've been traumatized, help them enough and say the right things to them, so they're able to get to real counseling to help them through what they're going through. Oh, yes, we have generations that really need counseling, have had so much to happen in their life. And I'm talking about counseling that helps them to see how God loves, how God cares, and how they could deal with issues in their life. Because how many of you know that sometimes You may not know yourself as well as you think you know yourself, and you say there are certain things you won't do, but you end up doing it and end up in trouble because you've done it. Well, listen, if we could just help people kind of get to a point where they realize there are people who care about me. I mean, like us, people who say we should care about other folk. And if there's someone who cares enough about me to talk to me and talk with me until I can get to a point where somebody who has been credentialized to do real counseling. And what I mean by that is there are people who can talk to you about triggers that you have in your life. If this thing happened to you, this is probably how you're going to react. And if you're about to react like this, you might want to do this instead. That's good stuff to know. But I'm saying to us that God loves us, and we need to stop being the ones that saying, that has nothing to do with me. Because sometime it may be your child. Sometime it might be you. And you'll want somebody to intervene and say, hey, let me talk with you. God loves you. Now, they know you're not coming to beat on them and to tear them down and all this, but you start with God loves you. And they show them in God's word, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Are you in the world? If you're in the world, God loves you. How much did he love you? He loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus. He loved you so much. God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I don't know where we get our credentials that we can condemn everybody and think that's getting us a better seat in heaven. It's about loving folk as God loves folk. And God is the one who does the transformation in everybody's life. I wish I had a magic wand. I could just transform your life. No, it doesn't work like that. We allow them to know God like you came to know God. Once you know God, you allow God to live in you and you begin to make decisions based upon who Christ is in your life, not based upon what you think you can do better. And once you allow Christ to lead your life is Christ-centered and Holy Spirit-led, then the decisions that you're making on behalf of others will be the decisions that are led by God and God can get the glory. How do we know God loves us? I'm done. Because he sent his son. If you had no other reason to know how God loved you, he sent his son Jesus. He gave up eternity for a moment to come on this earth, to live among men, to go through what we go through, to feel what we feel, to know the pressures and the issues and everything that goes on. He came, but yet he did not sin. That's the miracle about Jesus who came and lived on this earth and went about doing good. But even though he didn't sin, folks still talked about him. Folks still ridiculed him. Folks still called him everything but a child of God. Folk did all sort of stuff to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But look at how much he loved us in spite of what he's gone through. Look at what he did for us. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the hungry. He did so many miracles, so many wonderful things. And yet, out of all the good he did, they still wanted to kill him. But he laid down his life. Because he knew without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. He knew that he had to give up himself that we could have life everlasting. He knew that he had to die so we could live and have abundant life. So he allowed them to put nails in his hands. He allowed them to put nails in his feet and the crown of thorns on his head. For you and for me, as we go into 2023, we can always give God praise, honor, and glory for the fact that Jesus hung on the cross and died for all of our sins. I said he died for all of our sins. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, all day Saturday. He stayed there all night Saturday. But early on that Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. Can you imagine what kind of power that is? Resurrection power? And the Word of God teaches that that same resurrection power that raised God, that raised Christ from the dead, God has given us, living in us. Don't go through 2023 saying you have no power. Don't go through 2023 talking about how broke you are. Because I'm telling you right now, do it God's way. And God says, he will supply all you need. I didn't mean to get on this, but he said, if you pay your tithes and give an offering, he will open the windows of heaven. Let me just pause it for a second. I'm done. Windows of heaven. If I'm going to shovel you blessings, if I'm going to shovel you anything, and I could put it in, I could send it to you through an entryway, even in this building. And if I'm going to give to you dollar bills, just dollar bills, would you rather the dollar bills come to you from the doors or from the windows? How many doors? One, two. Oh. Do you trust God? He says, I will open you the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing you would not have room enough to receive it. I'm just saying, if we trust God and depend on him, he says, love. Love. Because he's loved us. I love when it takes, I've done this all through 2022, and it says, we got to put up with each other. He was talking to the church. He was talking about, you got to put up with them worldly people. He said, no. He said, we got to put up with each other in love. I'm done. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He's worthy to be praised. He loves us. He cares for us. He's made a way for us. And all we got to do is tell the Lord, thank you. All we got to do is let God know how much we love him in 2023. Let God know how much we care for him in 2023. Let God know that he's in control of our life and we're giving him first reign in our life. We may not have it down perfect, but perfect lives in us. We may not be mature yet, but maturity lives in us. He's positioned us to do great things in 2023. And you need to know this. I need to know this. That it's up to me in 2023. Let the new me be the me that's going to take us where God wants us to go. I can see it happening right now. If every last one of us start telling somebody else this week that God loves them and God cares for them, and then take time to pray with them no matter what the situation is. Don't come up with the answer for their problems. Don't come up with the answer for what they're going through specifically right then. Just pray with them and let them know God will do what only God can do. Is there anybody here who can witness that God has brought you through? We had many testimonies on last night about how God has brought them through one situation or another. I'm telling you, every last one of us, if you come to know God, God has brought you through some things. He brought you through something that you could tell somebody else. It was God who healed me. It was God who spoke to me. It was God who made sure I had a place to stay. It was God who gave me food. It was God who brought my family together. It was God who put love in my heart. It was God who changed my mind so I could think right. It was God who changed my hands so I could work right. It was God who changed my feet so I could walk right. It was God who made a difference in my life. I know that every last one of us have a testimony. You got a testimony of what God has done in your life. But let me tell you right now, the testimony you had in 2022, the testimony you had in 2021, the testimony you had in 2020, the testimony you had 10 years ago, the testimony you had 20 years ago, the testimony you had 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, that's not your last testimony. God is working right now, and you will have a word in 2023. I don't know what God going to take you through, but I know when he takes you through it, you're going to shout, yes, Lord, I thank you for how you helped. Yes, Lord, I thank you for how you brought me. Yes, Lord, I thank you of how you healed. Yes, Lord, I thank you for how you made a way out of no way. Give God the praise. Give God the glory. Give God all the honor. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank you, God. I know right here, we normally take time to say, those who don't know Christ, we want you to come. I ain't doing that. But Pastor, that's the high part of the worship. So we give people an opportunity to come to know Jesus. That's our tradition. I ain't doing that. You wanna know why I ain't doing it? I dare to ask me. Come on, ask me why I ain't doing it. Ask me, Deacon, why I ain't doing it. Thank you. I ain't doing it because you're gonna do it. Yeah, you're gonna do it. If you are saved, talk to folk around you and see if they're saved. Now, let me say this. This is what I love about church even today, Mother Wilson. This is what I love about church even today. Even people who don't know Christ, they don't believe in lying in the church. Not in the church. So I want you to take time to ask folk, are you saved? Have you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And then if they tell you no, then ask them, would you like to be? That's all. You do it. Seriously, right now, do it. Ask the folk around you. Don't suppose that the people around you are saved. Ask the people sitting right next to you also. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. We're asking in love. We're not asking in judgmental. We're not asking to be judgmental. We're asking because we care. We're asking because we care. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Now, if your answer was no, or you didn't want to answer, that's fine. We want you to know you have an opportunity to accept Christ. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you can pray to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It's a prayer that you can pray. And as we pray this prayer, you can do it online. You can do it here in the building. The Bible says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the word of God. Can anybody stop that from happening if you believe that God loves you and Jesus died for your sins? So here's a prayer we're going to pray. You can repeat it after me. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart. Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here today and you want to, if you accepted Christ, you want to join and be a part of First African Baptist Church, we invite you to come. Just walk down the aisle, give me your hands. If you're online, we ask you to type in the word saved, S-A-V-E-D. Wherever you are, you too, once you are part of the kingdom of Christ, you can also be an online member of First African Baptist. We thank God for you. We love God. We love you. Won't you come today? Is there anybody who wants to accept Christ on today? Won't you come?
He loves us.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh.
Oh.
done as the Lord commanded, and yet there's still room. We ask for those who have been baptized and those who have not yet received the right hand of fellowship. If you come to the first pew, that we can share together with our church covenant. We'll turn into our church covenant and we'll read that together. Our church covenant, found on the first page of your hymnal, is in the insert in your hymnal. We're going to read together our covenant. It's a promise we have with one another and with God. And it's what we're promising to do one with another. That we ought to love him. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Hallelujah. Let's read together our church covenant. Let me ask a question right quick. Thank you. Let's sing that.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh,
together. Having been, as we trust, brought by divine grace to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and to give ourselves wholly to him, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together in him with brotherly love to his glory as our common Lord. We do, therefore, in his strength engage, that we will exercise the Christian care and watchfulness over each other and faithfully warn, exhort, and admonish each other as occasion may require, that we will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but will uphold the public worship of God and the ordinances of his house, that we will not omit closet and family religion at home, nor neglect the great duty of religiously training our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and the enjoyment of heaven, that as we are the light of the world and salt of the earth, we will seek divine aid to enable us to deny ungodliness and every worldly lust, and to walk circumspectly in the world, that we may win the souls of men, that we will cheerfully contribute of our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the support of the poor, and to spread the gospel over the earth, that we will, in all conditions, even till death, strive to live to the glory of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Glory be to the Father. Thank you.
God, our creator, sustainer, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to this table to acknowledge who you are and whose we are. We know, God, that you love us. And now, Lord, help your love compel us. Help your love control us, that we may be the men and women that you've called us to be for such a time as this. God, we know you love this entire world. Help us to have a love for the world, that we will share your gospel everywhere we go. That dying men, women, boys, and girls would know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, God, we ask you to bless these elements, change them from a carnal use to a spiritual use. Those here in this building and those at home, God, that you would change those elements from a carnal use to a spiritual use, that as we partake of them, we'll be strengthened to do the work you've called us to do. Bless this fruit of the vine. Bless this bread. Bless those elements that we have at home. And God, we thank you. We love you. We adore you. Bless, guide, and keep us. And God, if there's any baptized believer who believes they're not worthy to receive this on today, please change their minds right now so we can be obedient. We ask you to create within us a clean heart and renew a right spirit, that we can fellowship together, that you will get glory. It's in the precious, powerful, and peaceful name of Jesus we pray. The children of God said amen and praise God. As Jesus assembled in the upper room with the disciples, he took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat all of it." Thank you, Lord. Likewise, took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for the remission of sin. Take, drink all of it."
Thank you, Lord. Wash all my sins away. Wash all of my sins away. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your pierced side. Thank you for the nails in your hands. Thank you for the nails in your feet. Thank you for the crown of thorns on your head. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your blood. Wash on.
Wash on my sins.
Poinsettias, the live poinsettias, you can actually take them with you. If you'd like to take a live poinsettia with you, we're just asking that you would distance yourself in doing that. You know, keep mindful of where we are, what we're doing, not just COVID, but the flu and RSV and MOUSE and all this other stuff. Let's just make sure that we're mindful, and we have poinsettias plenty enough to give the live ones. There's some that are not live, that's another purpose, but you can take the live ones with you. Let us pray. God, again, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to serve, to share. We ask now, as you dismiss us from this place, never your presence, to do the work you've called us to do for such a time as this. God, let us be the me in 2023 that you want us to be. Guide us and direct us. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen,
amen.
And praise God.
Praise God.